Hey, JB.
What's up?
Don't stop.
Keep pouring?
Keep pouring, my friend.
Hi, folks. You want to save some money using promo code THELASTDROP? Of course you do. So head over to manscaped.com. Manscaped Performance Package is the best men's hygiene bundle you could ever receive. First off, you get the Weed Whacker, which is the electric nose and ear hair trimmer. I absolutely love this thing and have been using it regularly since I received the 4.0 Performance Package. But that's not all. You also get a pair of underwear that are just oh so comfortable, and I would know because I'm wearing them as we speak. You also receive the ball deodorant, which protects your family jewels from smelling like holiday drools. You also get the ball toner, which is a quick pick-me-up for whenever you want to introduce some style to your balls, and it's good for you when you're on the road. And last but not least, you receive the Lawnmower 4.0. This beauty is the personification of keeping your balls trimmed to perfection. It's cordless, it's waterproof, it comes with a 4000K LED spotlight to make sure you don't miss an inch of hair on those balls. This bad boy has specifically engineered ceramic blades to help cut through thick hair while reducing pulling, nicks, or cuts. Trust me on this, your balls will thank you. And that's not all. When you go to checkout, you can use promo code THELASTDROP, THELASTDROP, to receive 20% off. That's The Last Drop, THELASTDROP, at manscaped.com. As we always say, don't stop, keep pouring. Well, we're now also saying, don't stop, keep shaving, because your balls will thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls around the world, welcome to another edition here of The Last Drop. I am your godfather of whiskey. I am JB, and I'm running another solo episode here while my man Cody handles some work. But I am super excited today about this episode, even though I'm running it solo, for the simple fact that it is Bourbon Heritage Month, and I got some exciting new spirits to talk about. I just came back from a small... I shouldn't say small, it was actually pretty big. I came back from a pretty big tequila event. And I had something else planned to review here for the JB show. But then I found out, talking more of these tequila reps, some of the spirits I had. And I got some little samples here. And I'm willing to try them out a little bit more. I've had a shit ton of tequila today. I'm super pumped up. I'm excited. Nothing beats Nosotros tequila. One of the best fucking tequilas out there. If you find a bottle, just buy it. I don't give a damn if it's Blanco, Añejo, or Reposado. Just get it. But the one I really want to talk about today, which I found out through the rep that was there, and this event was at Roxanne's Tiki Bar in Long Beach, California. Great fucking event. I want to send a special thanks to Nosotros Tequila for inviting me, and I had a great damn time. So I got another event to get to, so I might have to make this really quick to get through. But the one I want to talk about is Luna Azul Añejo, Extra Añejo. So I found out that this tequila was aged for... what was it, 46 months, I think, or something like that, in Elijah Craig barrels. Oh, see, now I gotta look it up now. Hold up now. Wait a minute. I'm almost certain it was 46. Hold up. Let me see. Elijah Craig barrel. There we go. There we go. Yep, 46 months in Elijah Craig's small batch bourbon barrels. The godfather of bourbon himself, Elijah Craig. And Elijah Craig just had a new bottle that just got released, a new expression, if you will. So it's Bourbon Heritage Month, and instead of pulling out a regular bottle of bourbon, I just said, let's do some expresiones, you know? This event that I went to was pretty cool. Like I said, Nosotros Tequila invited me. It was hosted at Roxanne's Bar here in Long Beach. I don't even remember the name of the event itself. It was called Cumbias y Tequila. I probably fucked that all up. Planeta Neta is here to take you on a journey beyond the stars. Mark your calendars. Well, I probably fucked that all up, so I apologize to all my Spanish speakers out there. They probably went like, what the fuck did he just say?
He just ruined that. I don't know what he said, but I don't want to go to that. That sounds horrible, actually. I had a great time. My friend had a great time. We got to damn near try every tequila there. Almost none of them beat Nosotros, but I will say Luna Azul, it came in a pretty good number two. Got a lot of good swag. The Patron booth hooked me up, especially once they found out I did the review for El Alto Patron, which we did, early tequila month, the first week actually, and they hooked it up. I'm looking at a swag bag right here. I got a bunch of cool stuff. But we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about this new Nas album. It possibly being his finale. Hopefully just with Hit-Boy, not retiring in general. But if he did retire, what a great album to go out on. And let's talk about this. So, I got to this event. Shut up, phone. Shut up. Nothing is that important. Other than UFC last night, which Alexa Grasso retained her title. Which I expected to happen, but not in the way it happened. It happened in the form of a draw, which I don't think anybody was expecting, to be honest. I think Valentina Shevchenko was the favorite to win that, but yeah, that last round, a 10-8. I already forgot the judge's name, but my brother needs to get his eyes fucking checked. I still think that it is super close, but champion's advantage. So I never shit on when it's champion's advantage. She gets champion's advantage. I did not like the comment that Valentina made afterwards, where she said, I think she only won because it was Mexican Independence Day. And I was just like, oof. Valentina, I know you're a foreigner and all, but that is the dumbest fucking thing you could possibly say. So, and you know, most UFC fans are a bunch of redneck motherfuckers or whatever who don't know what the hell they probably agree with her in that sense or whatever, but I that was like that comment. Ooh, that is not going to go over very well. But I do think a third fight is inevitable. I think it should be a third fight because that fight was badass as hell. I think Valentina won the first round. Grasso easily won the second round. Valentina dominated the third round. That was her most dominant round. The fourth round, you could go either or. I gave it to Grasso just because that final 2 minutes, man, those knees to the fucking side of the head and then the takedown, I thought she was just way aggressive at the end to where it just like dominated those quick jabs that Valentina was throwing. And then the fifth round was, once again, Valentina for the first 2.5 to 3 minutes, which was nothing but jabs, to be honest. Look, I'm no judge. I don't know how the point scales go, whatever and stuff, but those jabs were doing some damage, but at the same time, Grasso, those last 2 minutes, she fucking kind of just wailed on her a little bit, you know? So it was, I would assume the control time was a little bit more in Valentina's favor. It's hard to say because they were such quick little short jabs, whereas in Grasso, I feel like just had like more of a into it than Valentina did. I thought Valentina was just like quick and out of there, whereas I thought Grasso kind of was just like not as quick and in there. She was just like, you know, smashing this girl's face and dropped her one time too. I think there's, you got to get a trilogy fight out of this. I think there's a third, and I think it should be on pay-per-view. I don't know what the fuck this, not that I'm complaining, because look, who doesn't love free? I think they got to get a third fight on pay-per-view. Grasso's tough as shit, man. For all the people that are saying she lost that fight, they are not giving that girl her credit. She was in a, I can't remember what kind of hold it was, but she was in a hold. Oof. For the longest in that third round, and I thought it was over. I was like, oh, Grasso's got no choice. And it was tight, too. You could see the muscles popping out of Valentina's back and shit. I love that Grasso just kept her calm, was breathing very easily. You could see her face turning purple and shit, and she still got out of it. I mean, it was like, damn, Valentina cannot put this girl away. So I love it, man. get a third fight in there. And all the people that's talking shit about it, I can see you talking shit about the judging, because that 10-8 was fucking ridiculous, to be honest. But shut the fuck up, please. Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. On to this tequila. I got a little bit of in this cup, which is, I got it in my Luna Azul little shot glass here. It is gorgeous as hell, too. Shout out to Luna Azul, because they hooked me up with a t-shirt. I got the hat over there. What else did I get out of? Oh, I got sunglasses, too, as well. Which look dope as hell. They have the best sunglasses there, without a doubt. So, on the nose, it's very heavy. You get a lot of agave, a lot of the alcohol spirits on there. Mind you, Bourbon Heritage Month. I'm doing anything with bourbon in it. And that doesn't necessarily not mean bourbon itself, even if it was aged in bourbon barrels, which this was. Last week I did the El Encantado? Yeah, that was what I did. And that was a brandy that was aged in bourbon, Weller bourbon barrels. Obviously, the week before that, I did Frank August, which was a legit bourbon. And this week, I'm doing a tequila that was aged in bourbon barrels. So, we went from bourbon straight to brandy / Armagnac in the bourbon barrels, and now tequila into a bourbon barrels. And then, who knows, next week, I might just come out with a straight bourbon again. I think this has been amazing, to be honest, to try so many different things that's been aged in bourbon barrels. Obviously, this is, oh, by the way, it's aged at 40%, but it smells like it's fucking over 100%, to be honest. I said aged. It's 40% ABV, I mean, I'm sorry. Oh, yeah, you get the smokiness on there. It's got this earthy tone, too, with a lot of pepper, a lot of oak and char. Man, if you bury your fucking nose in this, you just take deep sips of the alcohol in there. But it's nice and smooth, too. It's got a little bit of honey and caramel, obviously, on there. A lot of vanilla as well, too. Let's sip this bad boy. Alcohol is not as strong as it is on the scent. It's got a little pepperness in the back of it. There's a lot of oak characters with it. A lot of peppers. Black pepper, honestly. It's nice and smooth, though, too. It's got, like, this char, like it's a toasted barrel age, which I enjoy. The agave is kind of quiet, a little bit. It's very subtle on the tip there. Lots of vanilla, though. Lots of vanilla on the tongue there, on the palate. Keeps it nice and smooth. I think the nose got a little bit more fresher hints to it than on the taste does, which I kind of wish was on the taste, because I think it would just balance out perfectly, if you ask me. Okay, I pretty much just finished my sample in that one sip. The finish is where I might have my complaints at a little bit. You get a lot of the vanilla and caramel, and then there's a little bit of the alcohol, and then there's where that toasted barrelness is from. It kind of fades away very shortly, though. It doesn't linger around at all. So that's where my complaint is. I kind of wish that hit you more in the chest. And this is the extra añejo. I had the reposado first when I was there. By the way, this was only like this was like 30, 40 minutes ago, by the way, too, when I had that one. And the lady was real cool. So we got these ceramic cups. Which we didn't know they even came from that company. We got it from the bar, and we had got some of the Sotros cocktails made out of it. I think it was called Welcome to the Jungle. Delicious ass cocktails, fantastic, by the way. And we didn't know those ceramic cups were made from Luna Azul. So there was only 80 of those cups that were made. And excuse me if my verbiage is wrong on this, but these cups were specifically made by kids with special disabilities, and Luna Azul gave these kids jobs and paid them as well, too, to make these special ceramic cups, which I thought was just fucking amazing. I love hearing the story about this. The lady that was there, I wish I would have got her name. She was a very informative rep. I think her and Nosotros, obviously, me and my friend were talking about this, and we think that those were the only two tequila companies that kind of gave a little bit of history and background and story and stuff like that. Not that it makes the drink itself taste better or whatever, but it's always nice to hear a little bit of a background story to it. So I really appreciated that, especially, you know, myself. I used to volunteer work with kids with special disabilities, and to see these beautiful ceramic cups, I already put mine in the sink, actually, so to wash it. It is really beautiful. It's got that classic wolf design on it with the Luna Azul logo on there. It looks gorgeous. I love Luna Azul's logo, too. Looking at the hat right over there. I got a gray hat with the wolf design on it, too. And like I said, it's between them and Patron that had the best merch. I think Luna Azul had the best merch because due to the logo on it. I think it was really dope as hell. As far as the spirit goes, not what I expected. You definitely get the whiskey more so than the tequila. I rarely get any of the agave on that. I feel like the tequila is more all in the nose. The taste is more whiskey. Yeah, at least it feels some from the notes I've given. But I enjoy it a lot. I think the Reposado, honestly, is a little bit better. I think the Reposado is definitely better. But I think this is not bad. And these bottles are really cheap, too. They're in between the $22 to $39 range. So it's not like you're spending a lot on these. I don't feel like I was ripped off, even though it was free for me. Yeah, I'm thinking of dropping a positive 2.5 to 3 on this. So I'm just going to go 2.5. I feel positive on it. I'm going to go 2.5. I think this is a high-quality pour right here. The finish kind of leaves me a little lackluster. I wish it lingered a little bit longer, but it kind of just wraps itself up pretty quickly. And it definitely, this motherfucker, and I definitely see more, I thought I muted this damn thing. Hold on. Oh, I did. What the hell was that? That must have been the iPad or the other laptop over here. So yeah, I'm going to give this a 2.5. I enjoyed it and everything. It's got a little bit more whiskey notes, at least I feel, than tequila. More so on the taste buds and actually nose. Enjoying it. I think they make great merch. Hopefully I get to see them around more or whatever. I wouldn't mind tasting their Blanco and the regular Añejo after this as well, too. So that's the review, folks, of Luna Azul, an extra Añejo. Extra Añejo. At least I think it. Yeah, yeah. No, it's just regular Añejo. Yeah, I'm sorry. Oof. I fucked that all up. No, actually. Hold up now. Wait a minute. Yeah, it was just regular Añejo. Okay. Yeah. No, this was extra Añejo. I'm so sorry. I'm fucking this all up. This was extra Añejo. I think you can get this for $36 to $45. I think when I checked it out, it was like $36 on Total Wine, and I seen some stores selling it for $49 or whatever. So yeah, so this is definitely extra Añejo. I want to say I had I only had two there, so never mind. I had the Reposado and the extra Añejo. Let's talk about magic. So, Magic 3 just came out, and that's Nas and Hit-Boy finishing up the Magic Trilogy. We already finished up the King's Disease Trilogy, and they wanted to finish up the Magic Trilogy. 15 songs, 46 minutes. I'm kind of shocked by how short that is. Actually, I'm not that shocked by it, because when I first listened to it, it went by so quick. By the time I was wondering what track I was on, I was already on Japanese Soul Bar, which is track number 14. And I said, holy shit, I'm almost done with this album. I gotta say, I absolutely love this album. It is like the perfect combination of Magic 1 and Magic 2. It really is the finale. There was a tweet they put out, what was your favorite of the two trilogies? your two favorites out of the two trilogies. And mine's is King Disease 2 and Magic 3. And I was only four tracks in on Magic 3 when I made that comment. And by the way, I didn't even get to No Tears, Never Die, Sitting With My Thoughts, Japanese Soul Bar, and 1-800 Nas and Hit when I made that comment. No Tears is probably my favorite track on the album. And I had already wrote that comment saying Magic 3 was my favorite before I even got to that track. That's track number 5, by the way. Thank you, Nas. Thank you, Hit-Boy. This has been an incredible pandemic journey going through this musical hip-hop just journey here. I mean, you know, me and Cody here, we're true big hip-hop fans, and we just hate hip-hop today, how it's just bastardized and sounds like shit, really. And to hear this, like, 6 albums, 3 years, 2 trilogies, all of them to seem to be quality from the GOAT himself, Nas, it's just been beautiful. I don't know if this is his final album. He made it sound like it was, but it also made it sound like it was just the end of this work between the two of them. A part of me kind of wishes it is his final album, because I don't think there's a better way to go out of it than this. But also a part of me kind of is not really willing to let it go, to be honest, neither. I'm a huge Nas fan. Everybody knows. I think he's the GOAT. He's the greatest MC of all time. And I'm listening to this album right now. It's on Sitting With My Thoughts. I got it paused right now because I'm ready to play that as soon as this ends. Start hitting the road again. I think it's just been fantastic, man. Him and Hit-Boy was just like a... kind of like a fucking... really is titled after this album is Magic, baby. I mean, it kind of just came out of nowhere. Who'd have thought Nas and Hit-Boy... of all two people to collaborate together would have been just phenomenal. And it's just worked all the way through. So, yeah, man, I give this album a last drop, man. I love every track on here. And what I love, like I said before, what I love about these Magic albums compared to the King's Disease albums, they just sound so different from each other. The Magic albums sound nothing like the King's Disease albums. Although I think the King's Disease albums are obviously better because the first two Magic albums are only like fucking 6 to 9 tracks, if you will. And I think King's Disease 2, I think King's Disease 3 gives it a run for its money a little bit. There's something about King's Disease 2 where I just think it just hits all the beats that I'm looking for with the versatility on it and the tracks itself and the features on there, with whether it's EPMD, or Lauryn Hill. And then you got the first single on there was Rare, which is like almost one of my favorite Nas tracks of all time. I think that single is just that good. Yeah, man, it's just nice to hear this quality of hip hop. There's nothing really else I can say about that, man. That dude is the GOAT. And if that is his last album, phew, man, what a way to go out on. That trilogy right there, Magic wrapping up. Although I think this is my favorite Magic album, I still don't think any track hits as hard as Meet Joe Black off the first Magic album. I think that track right there just, that track just goes hard, man. Meet Joe Black, that is one of the best tracks off the Magic albums, period. So, and yeah, man, I guess this 6 album run is over. I've already made a playlist of all 6 albums, put them together, and I just have it on shuffle now, just ready to re-listen to all of them. There's probably one track on there out of all 6 albums I just really fucking despise. And funny enough, it's off my favorite album too. It's King's Disease 2, which is YKTV. That sounds like some fucking trap shit that I really don't want to listen to. I've actually deleted that shit off the album itself, whatever. Cause I think that song is fucking horrible. I will say 50 Cent's verse is pretty fucking terrible too on Magic 2. he should just stick to comedy and never rap again. To be honest, that was horrible. But he's better than YKTV. I thought that track was just fucking terrible. I don't even know why the hell that was on that album. So yeah, Nas and Hit-Boy, thank you for putting out 6 quality albums there, man. It's been fantastic. I've already pre-ordered the Rubik's Cube of all 6 albums. You can just play around with it and stuff like that. I think that's dope as hell. So let me get out of here now. I've been going for 25 minutes or whatever, so I think that's a good enough show to serenade your earbuds while you drive into work on a nice, beautiful Monday morning. I say beautiful. I don't know if it's going to fucking rain or what. It rained randomly yesterday, and it was supposed to be like really hot today, and it wasn't. So anyway, people, Luna Azul, give that a 2.5. Magic 3, I'm giving that a last drop. The GOAT is here, or the GOAT is finishing up. So with that said, I am your godfather of whiskey. I am JB. And like we always say, livers will never be the same, and glasses will never be dry. Oh, that was a terrible clink. Hold on. Oh. Oh my god, all these clinks are terrible. Alright, well, hold on, wait a minute. Hold on, let's try it one more time. Okay, that's as good as it's gonna get.